and he died at the age of 85. Now Ali ibn Abi Talib's mother, or the wife of Abu Talib, is who? Her name is Fatima bint As'ad bint Hashim. So she's also from Hashim's descent, okay? So Ali is related to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ from both the father and the mother, from both sides. And Ali was the first offspring that both his parents were from what? From the Hashimis, okay? His mother Fatima converted to Islam earlier on and migrated, and she died in Medina. And the Prophet is the one who prayed janazah on her. And he carried her down to her grave. And he used his own cloak for her kafan. He covered her in his own cloak. And he said, by Allah, I haven't seen anyone treat me better than this woman after Abu Talib. She's his aunt, like she's his uncle's wife. This lady raised me and stood by me. Okay, so this is what his parents. Now Ali ibn Abi Talib had two names that he was called by. The first one was Abu al-Hasan, because of his first son, or his older son was who? Al-Hasan, right? And the second name was Aba Turab. Turab means dirt, you know, like owner of the dirt or sahib al-dirt. And the story behind it is this as follows. Now the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ went to visit his daughter Fatima, who was married to Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he found that they had had an argument. So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ asked her, you know, where's your husband? And she replied, he left upset. He went to the masjid. Now look at the father-in-law's response here. Like usually if you're, you know, you go, you find your daughter upset, like, where is he? What did he do to you? You know, I'll show him his business, whatever. He didn't ask her what happened. What did he say to you, all right? And she didn't tell him what happened as well, to keep what, the secrets of her home. And then he went and he left, and he went where? To the masjid. And when he went to Ali, he did not ask him what happened either. So he went to the masjid and he found Ali laying there down on the dirt, because, you know, they didn't have like the nice fancy rugs that we have now and the heat and everything. The Prophet's masjid was nothing. They had like some, you know, leaves from the palm trees for the roofs, and it was just the plain dirt. Lying down on the floor with his cloak, with his hand under his cheek. So he went to him and he patted him and he said, what? Get up, Aba Turab, get up, Aba Turab. Like, get up, you know, you're like person, you're full of dirt. You know, he's like, you know, he's older. He was trying to, you know, joke with him, telling getting get up. And the Prophet and Sayyidina Ali smiled, started laughing, you know, kind of like broke the ice, you know. And he got up and he started laughing. And he was actually proud of this name because it was kind of like a joke name, you know, Aba Turab, you know, full of dirt, you know, get up, you're full of dirt. And that was his second name, okay? Now for his siblings, they're all from the same parents. So Abu Talib and Fatima were married the whole time. He didn't marry anybody else. And he had three brothers and two sisters. And their order by age were as following: Talib, and then Aqil, and then Ghafar, and then Ali ibn Abi Talib, and then Umm Hani, his sister, and then Jumana. And the funny thing is that between every brother and the other one was 10 years. Can you imagine? So like 10 years, and then 20, and then 30, and then 40, and then they had the two girls after that. No one knows if Talib, the oldest, ever converted to Islam. There's nothing to say in the narrations. As for Aqil, the second brother, he converted but much later on, and he had great status in Islam. And he had many kids. Seven of them died marchers in Karbala, the battles of Karbala with Al-Husayn. They were great supporters, what, for Al-Husayn. As for Ghafar, he was known as Ghafar al-Tayyar, right? The flying. Al-Tayyar means somebody who's flying. And he died as a marcher in the battle of Mu'ta after his right arm was cut off and then his left arm was cut off. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said his famous saying, I see him now flying in the heavens, eating from its fruits and its what, and drinking from its rivers. SubhanAllah, because he lost both his arms. So as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him wings, he's flying in heaven. So there he was called what? Ghafar al-Tayyar, the flying, Ghafar the flying, subhanAllah. Now his sisters, the first one was Umm Hani, and she converted to Islam way early on. Like as soon as Islam was there, she converted right away, like Ali and Ghafar. And he was in her house on the night of, the Prophet was in her house on the night of Isra and Mi'raj. And she had great situations of support with the Prophet Muhammad, specifically at the time of the opening of Mecca. And at that time, on the day of the opening of Mecca, two of the worst of the disbelievers, who really harmed a lot of the Muslims, ran to her. And they said what to her? Protect us, Umm Hani, hide us in your house. They'll kill us if they find us for what we have done. So she was hoping. And they said what? We promise you that we bear witness that there's no God except Allah and that He is the messenger. So she what? She kind of got greedy, like, okay, you know what? They're going to become like really good Muslims. So she agreed and she hid them. But Ali saw them running where? Into his sister's house. So he's like, okay, great, now I got them, I caught them. They're in my sister's house. She's gonna have to, you know, there's no way she's not gonna, you know, turn them over. They're very bad people. So he walked in and he said, bring them in. So she said, no, I have given them my protection. Look at her strong character here. So he said, by Allah, I will not leave them until I take them. And she replied, by Allah, I will not hand them over to you until I speak to the Prophet Muhammad. So she went to the Prophet Muhammad and she told him what happened. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, I gave them my protection. So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ replied and said, well, he would have said, what? These are orders. This is an army. They have to turn over. They're traitors, whatever. He said, what? And we have protected whom you have protected, O Umm Hanif. And you see here the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, how he's honoring the words, but not just the words, but the actions of a Muslim woman. A lot of the sisters who fear that Islam will take away your rights, or they take away, you know, or restrict you in any way, see how the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ just honored her word because she'd said something. He didn't want her what to take her word back, and he honored that. And that's how Islam is, although it was different from what he had ordered to do. Now, let's look at Ali ibn Abi Talib's wives. His first wife was Fatima, of course, the wife of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And he lived with her till she died. And then he didn't marry anyone for quite a period of time. But after her death, he married several times for different reasons. Like once he got married and she died, and then another time he married, you know, different reasons he got married. All right? And he had a lot of kids. But his first marriage was from Fatima. He married her when she was 18 years old, sometime between the second and the third Hijri year. And they had four children, Al-Hassan, of course, and Al-Husayn, Zainab, and Umm Kulthum. And she passed away after the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ with what? With 6 months, if you remember, we said that before. And it was the Prophet's habit, we said, whenever that she walked in on him, he would get up, hug her, and kiss her on her forehead between her eyebrows. But on the day that he was dying, when she went and walked in upon him, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was too weak to get up and what? And hug her. And so she started crying. So he told her what, come closer to me. And he whispered in her ear something. So she started crying even more and more. So when he found her crying even more and more, he told her, come closer again. And he whispered again something in her ears, and she started what, laughing. And later on, after the Prophet died, Aisha came and told her, Fatima, what made you laugh, you know, or cry and laugh at the same time? What did the Prophet tell you? So she said, the first time he told me, Fatima, I'm dying tonight. That's it. So I started crying really hard. So when he saw me crying even more, he told me, come closer again. He told me, Fatima, good news or glad tidings. You are the first one who's going to what, catch up with me. Okay? So she was happy. She's the first one who's going to be what, with the Prophet. She said, like, you know, what do I want from this life? I'm going to be in heaven with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with my father. What could be more than that? Okay, so I laughed. So as we said, they married between the second and the third Hijri year. And she died 6 months after the Prophet's death. So the Prophet died, and 6 months later he died. So their whole marriage was about 7 years or 7.5 years or a little bit more. And she died around the age of 26 years old. As for how they got married, Fatima had got two marriage proposals. The first one was from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, right? And the second one was from Umar ibn al-Khattab. But the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said what? No, she's too young. You see how here he was concerned about the age difference. He said, no, she was too young. So a young servant from the household of the Prophet ran to Ali and said, why don't you go and propose for Fatima? Why don't you ask for Fatima's hand? So he said, but I have nothing to get married with, you know. And it's important to note here that Abu Talib's house, guys, was a house of what? Like Abu Talib had a lot of, like, you know, he had a word in among the Quraishi peoples. He had great rank and pristine, but they were not rich people. They were not rich people. He had a lot of kids, and that was a lot of burden on him. But he was great status. And it's very important to teach our kids, doesn't matter how much you have, it's who you are. And, you know, they were people who their word was heard or listened to, you know, not because they had money, but because of how honorable they are and how, you know, good of people they were. So that's the kind of house, okay? So he told her, what, I don't have nothing to get married with, okay? So the servant told him, if you go to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he will marry her to you. So she felt something. So he said, do you think so? She replied, yes. So he went to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and he told him, the Prophet told him what? Come on in, Ali. So he went in and he sat down. He didn't utter a word. You know, he's like, okay, I'm here now. What do I say? This is the Prophet sitting in front of me and I'm like, I have nothing and I'm coming to ask for his daughter's hand. So he sat there and he couldn't utter a word. Okay, so the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ asked him, what has brought you here? Still, no word. He's just sitting there silent, okay? He's saying, Ali says later on, I was overtaken by the greatness that this is the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Can you imagine? Okay, so the Prophet looked at me and smiled and he said, maybe you're coming to ask for Fatima's hand, all right? He understood, like, he's coming, sitting down, what is wrong with you? Why are you here? You're just sitting there like, okay, you know, like, you know, brain freeze. He's like, okay, maybe you're coming to ask for Fatima's hand. So I said, yes, O Prophet of Allah. Like, he's like, yes, that's what I'm coming for. So he said, do you have enough to marry her? So he replied, oh no, Prophet of Allah. He said, don't you have an arm, like a barrier, you know, one of the arms they used to carry, those arms, the shield? I said, yes, by the one who created Ali, I do have one, but I'm coming to marry you know, what would you want from my, you know, my whatever it's called, the arms that I carry? It's nothing worth than 400 dirhams. He said, I know, and I'll marry her to you with it. That's it. That's all I want from you. That's her dowry. Do you see how he married his daughter, okay? Women don't have a price. They're not sold. It doesn't matter how much a person pays for your daughter. It's who the person is. It's very important for us because the culture we were raised from, how much do you make? How much are you paying for her dowry? How am I going to guarantee for her mu'akhar, what's paid at the end? This all doesn't matter. It's somebody who takes your daughter and honors them. If this is the Prophet Muhammad's daughter, the seal of all messengers is married with a dowry of just a little arm that he held or a shield that he held, then what should we be doing? SubhanAllah, all right? I'm not asking you to go make her live like in the swamp or the dirt or whatever, but you try to choose somebody who's a good man for them, somebody who's going to honor them and protect them and treat them like queens. Basically, that's what it is. It's not about how much they pay because, you know, it's not about money. Your daughter is, you know, if you're going to think about worth, then, you know, the Prophet's daughter is worth what? Millions and millions. She's the Prophet's daughter. Who could be better than her? But it's not about money. Women are not for sale. It's not that you're not selling your daughter, okay? So he said, I agree. And Ali was, you do, O Prophet of Allah? And he agreed. So they were both, Ali agreed to it, and the Prophet Muhammad agreed to it, and Fatima agreed to it. And it was their wedding day. And the Prophet Muhammad said, what? Wait for me. You know, like, don't go ahead and, consummate the marriage. Wait for me. It's their wedding day. And the Prophet Muhammad came to them and he made wudu. And then he used from the wudu water and he sprinkled on Ali's face and then he sprinkled some of the water on Fatima's face, who was very extremely shy. And then he said to Ali, put your hand on Fatima's forehead and say after me, Oh Allah, I ask you to sustain her, to sustain me with all her good and the good that she was created for, and protect me from her evil and any evil that she was created for. You see, this is how they're starting their life in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And then he said what? Let's pray two rak'ahs together. Okay? Now, this is a house of a Muslim, or this is how a Muslim house should start. Nowadays, you see people, even Muslims, you see how they start their wedding night with dancing and drinking. They're like, it's okay, it's our, you know, our wedding night, it's okay. SubhanAllah, what kind of house is a house is gonna last? A house that starts in the obeying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the first night, they start their life by what? Praying two rak'ahs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we should teach our children. And that's why the Prophet told them, wait until I come to you. And he taught them the dua, and then what? He prayed with them the two rak'ahs, and that's how they started, okay? And the Ansar said, we went. The Ansar, the people of Medina, said, we went to their house to celebrate their marriage and congratulate them. And by Allah, we did not find anything except a bamboo rug on the floor and a pillow filled with loofah. You know the loofah? You know how rough that thing is, the thing that we scrub with? A pillow that was stuffed with loofah. It wasn't like stuffed with cotton. It wasn't stuffed with, you know, anything fuzzy. No, with loofah, okay? And a jug of water and a cup to bathe with. This is the Prophet Muhammad's daughter's house. Can you imagine? The Prophet's daughter's house. Can you imagine the simplicity? Okay? And we'll talk later in detail how their life was with together. After her death, after Fatima died at 26, he married Asma bint Umais. I don't know if you remember, we said she was married to, who do you remember? Do you remember who she was married to? Okay, she was married to Abu Bakr Siddiq, remember? She was first married to Ghafar, his older brother. And then when Ghafar died, Abu Bakr Siddiq married her. And then when Abu Bakr died, Ali ibn Abi Talib who married her, okay? So that was his second wife, okay? And he married several times. And he had 14 boys and 19 girls in total. Mashallah. So I can't imagine how many wives. I don't know. We're going to go into that later. But he had 14 boys and 19 girls. Of course, four of them, as we said, were already from who? Fatima. Fatima Zahra, okay? Some of them, some of the names that were mentioned in the hadith were Al-Hasan, Al-Husayn, Zainab, Umm Kulthum, Muhammad Al-Akbar, Abu Bakr, Al-Abbas, Uthman, Ghafar, Yahya, Aun, Umar, Muhammad Al-Asghar, Umm Hani, Maymuna, Umm Kulthum, Al-Sughra, Fatima, Khadija, and Umm Salama. These were just some of their names, okay? Now, if you look at their names, okay, what does it tell you? You have, first of all, two of his sons were named Muhammad. Out of his love for who? The Prophet Muhammad. He had Muhammad the Great, Muhammad al-Akbar, and Muhammad al-Asghar. So he named two, who names the same son Muhammad? You know, like Muhammad, like, hey, come on, like how many Muhammads, okay? And then after that, you see, and this is the same thing that Umar ibn al-Khattab did that, okay? There was a hadith that said what the best of names for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were Abdullah and Abdurrahman. So he named his three sons what? عبد الرحمن عبد الرحمن عبد الرحمن. He had عبد الرحمن الأكبر, عبد الرحمن الأوسط, and عبد الرحمن الأصغر. He said, if these are Allah's, the most favored names to Allah, and I love the word Rahman, then all three of my sons are going to be called عبد الرحمن. You know, that was Umar ibn Khattab. Okay, so you have here, I have two of them, okay? And once there was a nice incident that happened with Muhammad al-Akbar, okay, and al-Hasan. And they were close in age, the two brothers, they're the sons of Ali, okay? They were upset with each other, and they weren't talking to each other. So Muhammad al-Akbar, who was his stepbrother, wrote to him a letter, and he said to al-Hasan, he said, what told him, kindly come and ask about me. So al-Hasan was, you know, was surprised. I'm upset with you, and I'm supposed to come with you and ask about you? Like, why don't you come and ask about me? So Muhammad replied, well, I heard the Prophet Muhammad say that the better one of you starts with what? With reconciling. And I know that you're better than me, Hassan, and that your mother Fatima is better than my mother Hanafiya, all right? Now, you see how they were, like these were just one of the incidents that happened between the brothers, okay? Now, if you look at the names again, there are two names that were names of the prophets, right? Muhammad and Yahya. And three names of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad, you know, Khadija, Maymuna, and Umm Salama. And then the names of the three caliphs, Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman. And this was a very good reason for him to prove to, because he was the fourth caliph, that he had no grudges, no hard feelings whatsoever for the three caliphs that passed before him. The people cannot, you can't name your son after somebody you don't love. You know what I'm saying? So that was something just to cut any kind of doubt that he had any disagreements with the three past caliphs. So he had Umar, and he had Abu Bakr, and he had Uthman, okay? And then of course he had who else as well? Fatima, which is after his first wife. Can you imagine? You know, you're married to Fatima, and then Fatima dies, and you marry somebody, and then you name Fatima, your wife is going to definitely kill you. You're like, you know, you're stew tonight. Who would ever agree to that? But then you see again here that, you know, it tells you how his other wife must have been like, you know, that she agreed that her husband would honor his first wife, and she let him what? Name after his first wife, and how still he had that loyalty to his first wife, Fatima. Now let's look at his Islam. Now, some scholars say he converted at 7, and others say he converted at 9, and someone, or the closest, or the most of the scholars agreed that he converted at the age of 10, okay? When Ali was 5 years old, Al-Abbas, which is what the Prophet Muhammad's other uncle, so Abu Talib and Al-Abbas, and the Prophet Muhammad went to Abu Talib, and they told him, you have too many children, okay? And we see that there are financial burden on you. So the Prophet said, I will take Ali and raise him, and Al-Abbas said, I'll take Ghafar and raise him, okay? Subhanallah, the Prophet was raised where? In his uncle's house, and then his uncle's son is going to be raised in his house. You see what I'm saying? The Prophet was raised in Abu Talib's house, and Ali, which is the son of Abu Talib, is going to be raised in the Prophet's house, subhanAllah, okay? And Ali lived in the Prophet Muhammad's house till the prophecy came down. And Ghafar lived with Al-Abbas until he converted, okay? So he was 10 years old, and one night he entered upon who? The Prophet Muhammad, this was like the second day, like the day of the revelation, okay? They came down, and he found the Prophet Muhammad standing, praying, and next to him who? Khadija. So after they finished, he asked them, what is this? You know, what are you doing? They replied, this is God's religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected for his worshippers and has chosen me to be his messenger. So bear witness, Ali. So Ali said, this is a great matter. Wait on me until I discuss this with my father. Can you imagine this is a response of a 10-year-old? Like you tell, like, you know, if you tell your daughter, bear witness, like, okay, I bear witness. You won't even understand what she's saying. He's like, no, wait a minute. This is a great matter. Let me discuss this with my father first. Okay, so the Prophet replied, if you're not going to convert, don't spread the word out yet. No one knows about it. So he said, okay, let me think about this. 10 years old, okay? So he stayed up all night thinking. And in the morning, he went to the Prophet Muhammad and he told him, repeat to me again what you said last night. So the Prophet Muhammad repeated to him what he told him before. So Ali replied, I bear witness that there is no God except Allah and that you are his messenger. 10 years old, sitting up at night thinking. What kind of kids? I'm just thinking, honest to God, I feel like disappointed when I think about my kids right now at this time. Like, do our kids really think and contemplate and understand and comprehend like these kids were? How were they raised, you know? What was put into their mentality to think that way, to sit and actually be able to comprehend something like this, okay? And I bear witness that there's no God except Allah and that you are his messenger. And I will keep your secret. Can you imagine? He tells them, and I will keep your secret. And he kept his secret, and he converted till one day his father Abu Talib saw him and asked him, what are you doing? So he replied, I have believed in Allah and have followed his messenger Muhammad, and I am steadfast, and I call you, O father Abu Talib, to what? To Islam. So Abu Talib replied, my dear son, what you do is what you do, and that is to listen to Muhammad and follow him, for he will only lead you to what's good. Can you imagine? As for me, I cannot leave my parents' religion. It's really surprising me again, Abu Talib, like he encouraged his son, his own son, go ahead and follow Muhammad. He will never lead you to something bad. But despite that, I can't just leave my parents' religion, subhanAllah. And there's a very nice story that was narrated. Once a tradesman came, his name was Afif al-Kanadi, and he came to Mecca to buy perfumes, and he sat with Al-Abbas in his tent. And as he talked with Al-Abbas, he would keep on looking at the Kaaba. And then amid that, Al-Afif al-Kanadi says what? Amid that came a man, and he stood facing the Kaaba, and he started saying something. And then a young boy came, and he stood on his right next, on his right side, facing the Kaaba. Then a woman came and stood behind them, facing the Kaaba. So the man bowed, so the boy bowed, and then the lady bowed. And then he stood up, so the boy stood up, and the lady stood up. And then he went down, and the boy went down, and the lady went down. So I asked Abbas, what is this? This is a great matter. What is going on? Like, what is this? This is something very strange to him. So Abbas replied, indeed, it's a great matter. So Abbas replied to him, what is it? He said, it's a new religion. Okay, it's a new religion. So he said, and who is the man? He said, do you not know him? Abbas is replying to Afif al-Kanadi, he's like, do you not know him? He said, no. He said, this is my nephew, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He said, and who is the young boy? He said, he's also my nephew, Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he said, and who is the lady? He replied, it's Khadija bint Khuwaylid. And by Allah, I do not know of anyone on the earth's surface who is a Muslim other than these three. Can you imagine? So the only three who were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time were who? Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khadija, and the 10-year-old Ali ibn Abi Talib. Can you imagine? Now, this is a great honor. He converted before reaching puberty, before he was held accountable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any of any deeds. He never bowed down to a statue, never drank, never did a major sin. Anas ibn Malik says, the revelation came down on the Prophet on Monday. Khadija converted on Monday and Ali on Tuesday. SubhanAllah, right there the next day. And the narrations differ, whether it was Abu Bakr first or Umar first, like the companions, you'll see there were differences. Like, no, wallahi, I was the third one. No, I was the third one. And that was because once they heard the message, a lot of them converted in privacy, in secrecy. Nobody knew, nobody told the other one. So they might be all, we don't really know who was the first one of them, because it was between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they actually bear witness that there was no God except him, subhanAllah. And so that's how he converted to Islam. So he moved to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's household at the age of 5. And at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 35 years old at that time. He was younger than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with 30 years, as we see. And he migrated when he was 23 years old. He held the Muslims' banner in the battles of Badr and Uhud at the age of 25. That's how he was, okay? And he led the Muslims in the battle of Khaybar at the age of 30. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ died when he was 33 years old. He became the caliph when he was 58 years old. And he was the caliph for 4 years and 9 months. And he died 63 years old like the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So these are the dates in his lives. And now what does he look like? Quick description of him and we close there. And then next, inshallah, next week we'll go into like his real life, how he was with the Prophet and so on. They say he was not too tall, neither was he too short. And it was said, if you looked at Ali's face, it's as if as you looked at the moon on a bright night. SubhanAllah, okay? If he smiled, he looked like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I guess they're cousins, there was some similarity between them. And if he walked in front of you, you would think it was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he had the same walk as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was very muscular, full of muscles, right? So all those people, you know, go work out now, you know, Sayyidina Ali was also very muscular, very hairy on the chest and the shoulders, very on the shoulders. He had thick hands and he was very strong, okay? So that was a very quick description of Ali ibn Abi Talib as it came in the narrations, okay? How he was later, inshallah, how he got married, who he married, how he was with the Prophet Muhammad, how he supported the Prophet, and how he was as a caliph, we'll talk about, inshallah, in the coming, you know, maybe lecture or two, inshallah. Okay, inshallah. So any